Yes, it's your weekly appointment with Dr. Raymond Hamdan, clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. Are you facing some personal challenges this morning and looking for some guidance and support? Then send in your story, your question to Dr. Raymond on 4001, or you can tweet at Suzanne Radford. And we started off talking about happiness. You know, we talk about that a lot. Are we happy? How happy do we need to be to have a fulfilled life? Or are we putting too much emphasis on happiness and whatever that may mean? And on Twitter here, everybody is scared to get hurt, and we have many reasons why we shouldn't be, but without pain there is no search for happiness. So is it all part of life's path and rich tapestry, Dr. Raymond, that, you know, we should be open as much to happiness and as much to pain?
I'm not sure of all of the things that you've cleverly brought up, because I might be old, but I've only lived about one generation here, but I've observed two others. And I have noticed that people seem to manifest the lack of happiness more. Before we had the sophistication of communications and media and transporting from one part of the world to another, people may have been much more content with what we would today say the little that they had. But who knew at the time that was little that they had? I remember asking a man one time, would you never like to visit another country? He said, no, actually, I'm happy where I am, because if I ever visited another country, then I would know what I don't have, and that might make me unhappy. Well, not everybody in the world takes that mindset, but a few do. What is important that you know yourself, that you understand what it is that is your form of cooperation in life, your sense of well-being. You know, if you're the kind of person that can enjoy visiting other locations, for instance, and that makes you happy to travel, to see new things, to acquire new knowledge through experience, then by all means do it. But if it causes you grief or frustration, then you wouldn't want to do it. Now, happiness, of course, is that sense of cooperation. However, whenever people get into a situation where their expectations or their goals are not being met, that's going to be unhappy. As a matter of fact, it's called frustration, the inability to reach your goals or expectations. What you're going to find is when you don't get to those goals or expectations, you'll feel that frustration, which leads to aggression. And that aggression will either be outward expression in violence or inward expression in depression. Well, whether you're depressed or you're aggressively outward violent, you're not going to get to your goals or your expectations. So now that's how that relates to happiness. Happiness then is when we perceive what makes us happy. When we find that people are very materialistic, they're not going to be happy for the right reason. They'll only be happy when there's a tangible element that can be bought. What if what happens in the world, economically, prevents us from being able to buy things? What happens to those unhappy people? Cameron Moffat, who's a professor of economics at Oxford, has written a book on the globalization of this topic that we're talking about, and I think he calls it the globalization for the common good. And this is not a political statement, it's more of a spiritual statement from where he takes it. He cites in his book that people who were leaders in the business industries, the top business of the world, ended up committing suicide when the businesses went bad.
Mm.
And it's because they lost the essence of life. When the essence of life becomes the almighty dollar or prestige through a business title, and that is taken away, then you may think that your life is taken away or your life is worthless. That's never been the essence. What we know is the true essence of human existence is a sense of belonging. And whether that belonging is to be a child, a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend, so whether it's family or relative or friend, we see that that kind of existence actually is the essence of humans. And I said earlier in the show in the last hour that when we move away from that personality structure is when we begin to have the uneasiness, when we begin to have the discord in our lives. And when we move away from the essence of human existence, thinking that tangibility and materialistic things are more important, we're very vulnerable. And that vulnerability puts us in a bad situation. Not only do we put ourselves in that bad situation and harm ourselves unconsciously, we become vulnerable for others to hurt us. You know, a lot of people won't accept when I say that what goes around comes around. And they'll say, but look at all these people who have done bad things to others and how they've survived it. And specifically, we talk about the mafia. And the mafia looks like they're doing very well because they have a lot of riches. But what I'm pointing out as a psychologist is which mafia member, whether they're the Godfather or the soldiers, can ever sleep at night without one eye open for the fear that somebody's going to hurt them. They have to spend a lot of time and money that they're illegally earning to pay for security, to make sure that their family members aren't going to be hurt. So these are kind of things where what goes around comes around. You do bad things to other people, you're going to get it done bad to you. Now, in no way, if something bad happens to a person, does that mean they've done something bad. But what we find is that bad people usually do have bad things happen to them, whether it's illness, death of a child, or any kind of a system, a death of a partner of significance, where they've been attacked in that way. What we see is that their loss of integrity is because of their own perception of what integrity actually is. So when we compromise our own psychological and physical integrity, we're putting ourselves in a vulnerable situation. And you can't blame it on the devil, simply because you can blame it on yourself. You make yourself have these things. As a matter of fact, Rhonda Byrne talks about this in The Secret. And what she actually talks about in The Secret is what psychoanalysis has been talking about for more than a century. We unconsciously make things go around. What goes around comes around because we unconsciously do it. So when we project that good, when we project integrity and decency and honorability and trust and respect, that's what we're going to actually get back.
Yeah, okay, but we can't say that anything that bad happens to you is your own doing, because in life something bad will happen. I mean, all of us at some point are going to lose a loved one, or we're going to have some kind of trauma. That's part of life, isn't it?
And that's why I said that just because something bad happens to someone doesn't mean that they did something bad. But what we see in the psychological research on this is that people who do bad things will have bad things done to them.
Right.
Very few people, if any at all, have ever done something bad and not suffered something that would be a punishment for what they've done bad. But in no way, just because something bad happens to us, does that mean that we've done something bad. What I'm pointing out is that the other way around. If people are bad, bad things do happen to
them. Around.
As a matter of fact, a friend of mine did a book back in the late 80s for Gannett. Gannett News is who does USA Today and now has other publications. And her research was actually on the psychology of leaders. And she asked me about this when she was going to first put the proposal together. And I had referred her to the International Society for Political Psychologists. And the International Society for Political Psychologists at the time was headed by some very, very important leaders in the thinking of political psychology. And she had contacted them. When at the end of the book, she had taken 25 leaders. Some had already died, some were still living. The interesting thing is that the commonality, the only thing that was a common denominator of the 25 people that she investigated, was that they all had some kind of suffering in their life. And that meant that when you look at the medical leaders who've discovered cures for things, they had obviously, according to the research, experienced some kind of a deadly disease in their youth where a sibling had died or their parent had died, and they were going to become physicians to cure the world of that problem. Or political leaders who made a difference in the world today, when you look back in their history, they had suffered the loss of a sibling at war, and swore that no mother would ever suffer the loss of a child as their mother had. Now, here's where we take those bad situations and turn them into good. And what we see today, there are certain cultures who, when attacked by a nation, rather than attacking back, they will in self-defense. But that doesn't become their forerunning theme forever. They become productive. They become nourishing. They become bonding. They become protective of each other. They actually expand on making contributions to civilization. Because what we know today in psychology is the best way to defeat an enemy is be the best person you can be to prove that what they're saying about you is wrong. But then there's other cultures who become no better than the aggressor who hurt them. So your perception of the situation, the way that you're going to handle the situation, will determine the outcome. So what we see is what goes around comes around, but what you project, if you take that bad situation and turn it into a productive means, like for instance, Candy Lightman, whose daughter was killed, I believe it was a daughter, who was killed by a drunk driver. Rather than going out with a shotgun and killing all the drivers who were drunk, what she did is she started Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD. She became a productive leader in that field that saved many other people from maybe being killed because of the campaign that she started that took not only national importance in the United States, but became a an international campaign.